Earlier in the semester, I was waiting for the bus and it was kind of a rainy day. So I was standing under the shelter where the benches are at Squires. And I saw this guy talking to the bus driver over there as the bus stopped. And he was kind of doing this laugh. He was like howling. He was having a ball over there talking to that bus driver. And at a certain point, he turned and he started walking towards me. And I was like, oh gosh, he's about to talk to me. What am I going to say? What is he going to say? This is going to be weird, might be awkward. And he gets up to me and stands real close. And he's like, I can tell we wasn't meant to be reindeer. And I'm like, man, that was some pun right there. The rain and the deer. It took me a minute to get it, but I was like, man, it's kind of corny. But anyway, the next thing he said, like after a pause, he was like, one time I was in church. And during the sermon, the preacher said, if you're a sinner, stand up. And there was a troublesome man in the back who at that point, he'd been sleeping the whole time. But at that point, he stood up real fast. And the preacher kind of sighed and he says, I mean, he goes, why are you standing? And the man said, I didn't want you to be standing by yourself. I was like, man, that's some burn right there. Like, why did he even tell me that story? I guess it was supposed to be a joke. But I was like, first of all, we're not sinners. You know, I have to excuse some of the untruth. But also, there was some truth in that that I really stood up. I was stood out. I was like, this almost feels like a divine moment because, like, I guess he meant that to be a joke, but the truth in it that pastors and, speakers and whoever, you know, the people who are explicitly leading in the church are not supposed to be holier than thou or give off that vibe or present themselves or be looked at as if they are somehow spiritually higher level than the rest of the people in the church. And the point, I guess, is that a church isn't meant to be, the pastors and up front with a congregation of spectators kind of around as consumers, because oftentimes, you know, we want to do that because society is, we said it a lot, a very consumer mindset right now, you know, microwave mentality. People want to often come to church and, you know, get fed, spiritually fed and go home and, you know, not participate. But really, that's not how it's meant to operate. Because, first of all, there's not really a actual spiritual hierarchy that's there. It's not like you level up and down based on your role. The reality is your ability and your authority come from God, and it's a constant across all believers. If anybody wants to start, look it up, Hebrews 10:14. That talks about how we got this way, how it is that there's no hierarchy and there's no spiritual pedestal that people can get put up on, or no laity, as they said. There was a clergy and the laity that people used to talk about and sometimes now still do. Okay,
For by one sacrifice, he is made perfect forever, those who are being made holy.
right. So it talks about how now that we've been justified, when God looks at us, he's not seeing our sin, but he's seeing Jesus, who stands and makes that perfection. He's justified or cleaned our slate, so to speak. So that's true for someone who might be in a pastor role, you know, Tony and Nick. It's also true for anyone else in the church in a blaze. We all have that applies to all of us. So then that means at that point, instead of the pastors and speakers being holier than thou, we're all being made holy together. by the same sacrifice. So to clarify, I'm going to give a definition of holy. That means dedicated to God or sacred. And that is you. So, and I want to mention too, because this helps the point of the clergy and laity and the spiritual leveling not really being a thing. The reason I'm giving the definitions is because of a, I don't know if I want, it wasn't like a rebuke, it was more of a suggestion or suggestion from Walter's brother, Daniel, during Faith Walkers, who was talking about, you know, how we tend to speak in Christianese and how it's probably not best for to give definition, to give words without any definitions and assume that people understand them. And that really impacted me, and it's impacting you now based on those definitions. So from Walter's brother all the way up where they live, all the way here, he's making that impact right now. So Jesus got rid of that congregation and that laity, the people who, you know, you might not think of as being the forthright speakers, and put us all up on the pulpit, basically. We're all eligible. Now we're all priests. So definition of priest, that's someone with the privilege and responsibility of being a mediator between God and other people, and responsible for maintaining the purity of the community and the sanctuary and making sure God's laws are remembered. So back in the Old Testament, it was just the sons of Aaron who were the priests, and they had a lot of y'all probably know this, the temple had at the back this place called the Holy of Holies, where God was actually supposed to physically reside. And there was a curtain between the Holy of Holies and the rest of the temple. And you're only the high priest is supposed to go into the Holy of Holies once a year to offer the most special sacrifices of atonement to God, and actually be in the same space that God resided. But the thing is, the curtain, this thing's like 30 feet wide, 30 feet tall, and presumably pretty thick, because you're trying to separate like God from the rest of the temple. But the significance of it is when Jesus died, the curtain tore. So I could imagine, another part of this, forgot to mention. Back then, if you were to go into the Holy of Holies and you weren't set up right to do that, then you would die, because the glory of God would just kill you right then. So they tie a rope to the guy, and, you know, if he was to die there, they just pull him out. Imagine being in the temple, first of all, when the curtain tears. You're like, you're not even supposed to be back there or looking in there at that point. The curtain's torn. It's like, oh, I'm going to die. But at this point, that's not us. We don't have to worry about dying at the presence of God, because we've been purified by the blood of Jesus, and we're able to, the significance of the curtain tearing is we're able to be that mediator now. We're directly connected to God. We don't have to go through a high priest once a year. So that passage where the curtain tears is Mark 15, 37 through 38, just so you know. I'll go ahead and read it. With a loud cry, Jesus breathed his last. The curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom, which is also significant, because that there was no way a person could tear the curtain from top to bottom physically, because of the height and the presumable thickness of it. Just wasn't a thing. So it was definitely miraculous that what Jesus did for us and the position he's given us. So we became the temple at that point, totally qualified for the Holy of Holies. And 1 Peter 2:9 then describes what we are now because of that. if someone wants to get that, that would be nice. Just talks about who we are now, based on this justification that we have.
Okay.
But
you are a chosen people, a real priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into glorious, wonderful light.
Yeah, so we've been called out of the darkness into the light, and now we're royal priesthood, holy nation. So once again, there's that word priesthood, priest, to describe us, mediators and people who act on behalf of God and do God's work, keep him, his people and his, you know, area, his space holy. So now the sassy guy who was sleeping at the beginning, at the back of the church, along with everyone else, is now on the stage with the preacher from that guy at the bus stop story. So you have the responsibility now, a privilege for caring for other people's spiritual health. Now you're a minister. So there's another definition. Definition of minister is someone devoted to meeting needs and or providing something useful or helpful. So that's any Christian now, that's you, devoted to meeting needs, providing something useful, helpful. As far as it being any Christian, there's a story I have. Back here, Richmond, at my home church, we have a teen church, you know, it's kind of like a youth group. And there was a guy who, this was back when I was in like middle school, a guy there who, you know, everybody pretty much was aware. He was pretty transparent that he was kind of like in and out of jail and had like some issues with drugs and alcohol and the whole nine yards. But he struggled with it and he, you know, worked with God. He was very clear that every time he seek repentance and he was actively working on getting rid of those vices of his. But he actually was tasked with leading the devotional time before the actual sermon. And this wasn't normal. He just kind of, you know, one day the youth pastor was like, this guy is gonna now lead the growth group, as we called it, for, you know, indefinitely. I think it was like a year or 2 years. But it was really impactful because you know, people have their judgments and things based on what he was involved in, and they were totally wrong. He led that growth group much better than anyone else who had done it so far, and actually made an impact on me personally, as far as transparency, because up until that point, I was very focused on looking like I was perfect. Probably not the way I would have done it, but it kind of worked. He would ask, you know, what's the worst thing that you've done this week? And he would, you know, say what he had did and then how he like was working to get past it and how he was working with God on it. And I would always say something like really petty or small, and he'd be like, you never say anything real. He actually called me out on it. I was like, oh, wow, I never do, actually. And from that point on, I worked on being more transparent. So even that, you know, that he was used to make an impact, and it's still lasting, still propagating through all the people there who he's changed into more transparent and less, you know, stuck up and try to be perfect. We're all, you know, now honest with God and honest with ourselves and others. So if he can do it, you can too, is my point. And so don't forget your responsibility. You have a responsibility to us, to God. And at this point, like what we're dealing with now, we need you more than ever. If you slack off, then the can give Satan a foothold to use in this time. And that's the real disease, I think, that Satan wants to spread through this. The separation, the loneliness, the lack of community, all of it is really dangerous. And I think we really need to come against that based on the responsibility that we have to be ministers. Thursday night, the night before I came back to Richmond, I was clearing out my apartment because, you know, I had to take out all my stuff. You know, I need most of it here for the rest of the semester, school stuff, office chair and everything. And I was looking at it. It was very empty. I was like, wow, this is kind of sad. I was not expecting to have to move out so quick. And, you know, just I was expecting to continue my life as normal. Of course, God changes things and things shake up based on how the enemy moves and how just life is. It was kind of saddening, honestly. And then I started thinking about the effect of this macroscopically. Like, most people kind of just lose this amount, you know, their comfy, you know, expected spring semester, but there are people who lose a lot more than that. People have lost their parents, grandparents, sons, daughters. People are really losing a lot, and just made me sad. I actually, I don't cry often, but that was a moment when I did. And I was like, God, like, you please do something about this guy, because people are struggling. And I think we need to be the hands and feet that God uses to do something. If he wants to impact someone, then I think oftentimes he'll do it through us. But we have to realize that we're able to do that, and that we have a responsibility to use our lives as ministries in order to do so. So I want to point out another thing too, that it's okay to, even though the situation with the coronavirus and stuff is, you know, it is in God's hands, and we can trust him. He is, he does have the ability to change things and to make everything work for the good of those who love him. But I want to point out that when Lazarus was dead and Jesus came to town to heal him, Jesus wept. This is the shortest verse of the Bible. He knew that he could heal Lazarus, and he would probably knew he was about to resurrect him, actually, but he still cried. And people, it's reasonable that people within the church even will be sad or upset at the situation, even though we are still trusting God. So it's important to realize that even though people outwardly might look, you know, joyful, this is a difficult time for most people. So we really have to activate at this point to be ministers. We need our ministering identity more than ever right now. And Jesus wants you to use your ministering identity more than ever right now. That goes into Matthew 25, 34 through 40. Somebody could be looking that up, please. Be nice. Matthew 25, 34 through 40. Talks about this is the parable with the sheep and the goats. And Jesus is saying he's separating the sheep from the goats, putting the sheep on the left and the sheep on the right and the goats on the left. We're the sheep. And he's continuing from there. So somebody could get that. That would be nice.
I can get it.
All right.
He said 34 through
40.
Then the king will say to those on his right, come you who are blessed by my father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me. Then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go to visit you? The king will reply, truly I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and these sisters of mine, you did for me.
Thanks. So yeah, this is ministering. This is meeting needs and being helpful. And could be, you know, someone spiritually hungry, physically hungry. People are, you know, losing pay right now. Someone might need a place to stay, clothes. People are stuck in the house. That's pretty, feels pretty close to prison sometimes. Sick, you know, like literally at this point, that's the most applicable one. And we can be ministers. We can meet those needs. We're able to do so. So based on the current times, what are some ministries that you all think we could be leading or participating in that could help, that you might be able to act on or that you need to be served by? This is kind of an interactive part, so you can talk if you want to.
So one of the things that just keeps me about meditation is just texting people who he puts on my heart. Just how you're doing, thinking of you, that kind of thing. And that has been time when that's been a really powerful, hey, I'm struggling. I really need somebody to talk to me, and that was a blessing to them. So it's really very able to do that.
Yeah, it's important. We got the internet. We can use that and phones. I was saying that, can you hear me now? I was saying the internet and phones are a useful way to do that. Yeah, texting people. I was agreeing with Tony. Did you have something, Walter?
Yeah, I got some. Because right now, like, my family is being very precautious about the whole coronavirus thing, especially since, like, my dad's still, like, recovering. But something that God showed me that I could do a lot here was that, and I put this in the group chat, I'm starting, like, a Bible study with my family. Because a lot of them actually do have a genuine, like, they want to, like, know more from someone who's, like, read it more. So they were asking me if I could set up, like, a weekly thing. Like, how we do with like, life group stuff. So, despite being stuck in my own house, I'm kind of glad that I'm still, like, God's still showing me ways that I can reach out to my family, especially since they don't really read the Bible that often. So, yeah.
Yeah, that's really good. Great. Excellent. So I was wondering also, are there any existing ministries that we have that could be adapted in some way? Because I've been thinking about particularly like AOK and 2B. The text messages probably are part of that, helping, you know, people's mental health. Keeping them in contact with people, others. Maybe something for AOK and outreach, anything you could think of? Or maybe it's just not the season for that. I don't know. What do you guys think?
I really am seriously considering going and buying some toilet paper at 7 a.m. and going around to places and just seeing if there are people who don't have any, you know, wearing gloves and having a backpack full of it, just to see if that. I don't even know if anything is open other than takeout, but people that work in, you know, restaurants and things like that, that's what I've heard. I've heard people say, you know, fast food restaurant workers don't have any. Okay, I can go give you some and love on you. And if you want two rolls, you have to give the gospel.
You know, initially when you mentioned that, I thought it was a joke, and then it like sunk in. I was like, oh, wait, you could actually use that. And then, yeah, that explains it even more. I totally agree. I think that's a good idea, especially with restaurant workers who don't, who might be lacking for tips and things right now. So our whole lives are a ministry. Ways we can act, we can really do that right now. Just encourage you to be thinking about those different ways we could do that, and the special circumstances we have now, unique ways that we could do that. But in daily life, we have school, work, you know, our jobs, family, friends. You know, Walter mentioned his family he was ministering to. That's great, great. Friends outside of the church. It's all opportunities to minister. Another thing that I realize that's important, another way that we could minister is our quality of work. I know that's not totally applicable to some people at the moment, but, you know, when it is and if it is currently, just seeing the effect of God's inspiration of you and your work ethic and things, people can really be impacted by that, especially professors. Once classes start online, this could be a good time to really be showing your faith through your work ethic and keeping up with everything. Though we may not see a pastor, we still have the constant opportunity to connect through the internet via light and phones, light to non-Christians. Just take responsibility. You got to check in with friends, refocus them on God, because Satan's not going to take a break right now. And I also want to caution you, social media is great, but the thing is, I think personally, this doesn't have to be you, but the Facebook, some Facebook pages and that get a lot of reposts can be a little dangerous. Just check on those before you repost to make sure they're like biblically accurate, because I don't think this is within a blaze, but I've definitely seen some of the past couple of days. I'm like, it's kind of sketch. But what God gives you is probably going to be more genuine and for your people too that are going to see your posts. Phone calls are good too. Hearing people's voices. Because iron still sharpens iron. We still need to meet somehow. And y'all are that iron for the other irons in this chat and in that room. And you kind of need to be the one who makes the difference in someone's life right now. So be praying for people, pray for the country. That's another form of ministry right there. Stay in contact with God, stay in contact with each other, and keep your friends and family safe. You're a minister just like any pastor, and now is the best time to use that superpower that you have. And just take responsibility. Use the privilege that God has given you to be his hands and feet and minister.
So that's it. Awesome. Have a great week. Be safe. Don't spread anything. Don't share. Except for Jesus. And love. Do your life groups online. Like I said earlier, if God puts anybody on your heart, even for 10 seconds, text them and see how they're doing. You just don't know. Maybe that's God prompting you to love on a little bit. All right. Awesome. It worked. God bless you guys.